All right. Tree trimming. By 7 p.m., the great room was in full swing. The servants had brought in the tree, a towering 20-foot blue spruce of perfect proportions, and there were ladders of various sizes to assist everyone in reaching the branches. The cartons of trimmings had been laid out in a row, and Christmas carols were playing in the background from the piped-in state-of-the-art audio system. Candles scented with pine, pumpkin, and cider were positioned around the room. Refreshments were set up on a nearby table. Mulled wine, eggnog, sherry, and exquisite hand-painted Christmas china held overflowing amounts of treacle tart, spotted dick, chocolate gâteau, and all manner of pies and puddings. The huge fire was crackling, as if to complement the tableau, the red velvet curtains were pulled back to view a beautifully thickly falling snow. Solange was filled with delight the minute she entered the room. She loved this event. Everyone else looked happy as well. Her father, in an enormous bright green sweater, was chuckling loudly and patting Quentin on the arm, apparently the breakfast events forgotten. They appeared to be retelling some favorite tale of a hunting trip, where Richard had accidentally shot Quentin in the foot. Even Quentin had on a red silk shirt of the old style, with billowy sleeves and a long side cut. Solange had always liked him in red, but he never wore it. Lady Fanshawe was bustling about the room, singing along with the carols, her cheeks flushed. She's been into the sherry, thought Solange knowingly. Timothy bounced about as if he were on a trampoline. The four quadruplets, now turned three, were gazing about them in wide-eyed wonderment. Shella was sipping eggnog and watching them fondly. And Henry, Victor, William, Kenny, and Carmine all came in together in a great herd, chanting loudly, oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Everyone burst into appreciative laughter at this, and the five took a bow. Quentin looked around. Everyone here? Solange gasped.
Jamie and Rosie!
She felt her heart lurch. It was snowing. The roads were bad. They were together in Jamie's souped-up sports car, no doubt driving incredibly fast.
I'm sure they're fine, Solange. Jamie's been driving for 5 years, you know. He actually drives quite well.
Well, I suppose. Are you wearing red for Christmas, or just because you know I like you in it?
Both. Actually, mostly for you.
He stared down at her, and for a moment she wished they were alone in the room. Just then the door opened, and Rosie practically pranced inside, shaking snow off her boots and scarf, cheeks pink and sparkly, appearing extremely pleased with herself.
Come on, come on!
She shouted behind her, and actually reached out and grabbed her brother's arm, literally dragging him into the room. There was a collective gasp. Jamie, who had curled, gelled, and pomaded his black hair all his life, worn dreadful amounts of pancake makeup, even after he no longer had zits, and was always kitted out in the most horrendous of outfits, was completely transformed. His hair had been lightened to a dark brown with a few lighter brown streaks. It was clean and wavy and cut perfectly in a shaggy fashion to his shoulders. Free of the unfortunate makeup, his long-lashed blue eyes, straight aquiline nose, and his mother's full lips, for once not pouty, rendered him actually quite good-looking. He wore a cerulean blue cotton t-shirt with a perfectly tailored striped Oxford shirt layered over the top. The most astonishing thing was he had actual jeans. No one had ever seen Jamie in jeans that were just baggy enough to make him look, for the first time in his life, like a normal kid his age.
Blimey!
Mumbled Victor.
Who the hell is that?
Stared Carmine.
I think it's Jamie, whispered Henry.
Damn!
Jamie looked mortally embarrassed, which made him cuter than ever.
Son, you look so handsome!
Jamie, you look wonderful! Elizabeth boomed.
Oh, Jamie, what a great outfit in your hair. It's so flattering.
Solange clapped her hands and beamed at him.
Jolly good, Jamie. Splendid. I have two good-looking grandsons now,
Richard announced rather tactlessly.
So, this is what you two were up to?
Quentin smiled at them. Solange didn't know if it was the fact that his son actually appeared normal and not like some frightening apparition, or because his twins had actually spent the day together, but this was the most pleased with Jamie she'd ever seen him. There was one person who had not said a word. Jamie looked at her with a terrible lump in his throat. She was the only one he really wanted to approve. Shallow was staring at him as if some great revelation had come over her. She'd always thought of him as a great overgrown boy who had quite an unfortunate appearance, wonderful with her kids, and rather misunderstood, but nothing more than that.
Jamie, you look great,
she breathed and then thought, he's not a boy, he's a young man, he's cute. And suddenly she was suffused with a blush that turned her face very red. Jamie was so overjoyed with this, he turned and picked up Rosie and swung her around.
Put me down! You're mental!
She screeched, but she was smiling. She had seen Chala's face as well, and though she would have loathed to admit it, she was happy for him. Besides, this was all really a compliment to her, of course.
Okay, Jamie set her down and looked around. So, anyone have any more compliments for me, or is it time to trim the tree?
He's actually learning how to sound self-possessed, thought Solange proudly.
Let's trim! Everyone yelled, and the party began.
A couple of hours later, everyone was still up on various ladders, putting their favorite ornaments up. Quentin and Jamie, who were the tallest, had done the white lights. They had actually managed to get through this task without shouting at each other or making any attempt to put the cords of lights around each other's necks. They were now sprawled out on a couch, feeling they deserved a rest. Elizabeth was stringing popcorn and singing lustily in her deep voice. She had been in the sherry as well. Timothy was in charge of candy canes and took great pains to place them in just the right spots. Solange, her face flushed with delight and framed by her long honey brown waves, was indeed a vision worth watching. She felt badly for her earlier behavior and favored Quentin with a dazzling smile every time she came down to retrieve another ornament. Quentin, who always positioned himself where he could watch Solange climb up and down a ladder, thought this was definitely the best part of the Christmas holiday. Rosie had curled herself up prettily in a wild gold plush chair. She had Polly on her lap and was sipping sherry and watching the scene with amusement. Her golden brown curls bounced about her shoulders, and she wore her most flattering low-rise jeans with a tight candy cane striped sweater, her large brown eyes dancing with reflected firelight. She was in excellent spirits. The cook had announced her Hogwarts cookie had won first place, and she felt quite pleased with herself. To her surprise, William came over and sat at her feet.
Look how Quentin always sits where he can see my mom's ass,
she remarked, and William laughed.
Why aren't you trimming?
Oh, you know Quentin always lets me put the angel on top. I just wait to do that.
She glanced down at William and then did a bit of a double take.
Now I know what's different about you,
she favored him with a big smile.
You've straightened your hair. It's not that old brown color anymore. It looks ever so much better.
And indeed, William, who had always been unfortunately topped with a muddy brown frizzy afro, now had straight dark blonde locks, a long piece of which fell from a side part across his very blue, long-lashed eyes. Rosie gave him her scrutinizing look, which made him rather uncomfortable.
Well, you're rather cute.
You needn't sound so surprised, he replied dryly, but he had a bit of a silly grin on his face. This is actually my real hair. See, when I had that accident, you know, when I got expelled, it really fried my hair. I've been trying to invent a hair tonic to fix it up. I finally came up with the right thing.
You know who you kind of remind me of. David Thewlis, that actor who plays Lupin in the Harry Potter movies.
William looked as horrified as if she'd shot him.
No, I mean a much younger version, of course.
Rosie thought she had hurt his feelings.
It's a compliment. Well, I think he's dead sexy.
This caused an expression of mortal embarrassment, mixed with delight, to cross William's face.
Well, Thewlis, they really is a spot-on image. I mean, I guess she had a hand in picking the actors. Remus always says,
what? Rosie almost dropped her sherry. Was he delusional?
I mean, it's just like you imagined he'd look from a book, blurted out William hastily.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like Snape and everybody. They all look just like I imagined them. But why did you say Remus says?
Damn, 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 thought William and gazed at the tree for a moment. This was why he never talked to girls, especially Rosie, and he could never have come over here when she looked so enchanting. He should never have come over here, sorry. He was babbling like some sort of idiot. She was very smart and intuitive, and he was going to give something away.
Well, I have this uncle, and strangely enough, his name is Remus. Well, he likes that character, same name and all, and he says Thewlis looks like he pictured him as well.
Rosie was satisfied with this. She had heard him and Victor talking about some uncle that lived in Sussex, and at times they went to visit him.
Do you like your uncle?
Oh, very much. He was always better to Victor and me than our own parents, especially after I get kicked out of school and they wouldn't take me back. Well, he kind of kept up very closely with me, helped me learn some stuff I should have in school. He's a widower, you know, and I think he's quite lonely.
Doesn't he have a little girl or something?
Boy, he's six.
Why hasn't he ever come to visit? What's your cousin like?
William looked thoughtful. Well, let's see, Rosie, he thought to himself. He doesn't come here because he thinks he might be a danger to someone, and he doesn't bring my cousin because he's fond of turning his hair from pink to blue and back again for effect.
He's just kind of a loner. We'll get him out here eventually. You'd like my cousin Teddy. He's a lot like Tim.
Why don't they come live here? Quinn wouldn't mind, I know it. Then he wouldn't be lonely.
Rosie loved solving other people's problems for them.
And your cousin and Tim would get along great. It would be terrible to be an only child and not have a mum.
William sighed. I wish he would, Rosie. He's a bit of a tormented soul. Well, he lost a lot of, well, people he cared about, and some people treat him rather badly. I think he likes to keep to himself, and he likes to keep he and Teddy sort of shut away from the world. But he says he'd be a great bother to me and Victor.
Who could bother Victor?
They both glanced over to where Victor lay on his back, loudly singing Christmas carols in a very off-key voice. The words to the carols had been changed a bit. Instead of "Oh Christmas Tree," it had become "Oh Whiskey Tree," and "It Came a Midnight Clear" to "It Came to Me a Midnight Beer."
Yeah, no kidding.
William looked embarrassed.
William?
Rosie, tipsy with sherry, had clambered down from her chair so that she sat next to him.
Remember when you came to the mansion? How old were you?
I was 13. You were 9,
he replied promptly. She shuddered.
Ugh! I had braces, and I wore the worst clothes. Didn't you think I was dreadful?
William had thought she was a rather dreadful, bossy, spoiled child.
Well, I thought you were in that awkward stage.
He tried to be tactful.
But I always thought you'd turn into quite a beauty.
And so you did.
She was mollified and favored him with a smile.
Why is Victor so much older than you?
She was certainly asking a lot of questions, thought William, puzzled. But these seemed rather safe ones.
Oh, I don't think my parents ever wanted to have kids. Victor was an accident when he was 16, and I think they tried to keep from having more, but my mum ended up pregnant again another 14 years later. My uncle's our mum's youngest brother. He's actually only a couple of years older than Victor.
Well, you don't have that Cockney accent Victor has.
Well, Victor was born in Limehouse. They were quite poor, and he grew up with a working-class crowd. By the time they had me, my dad had moved up a bit his company, and we lived in Sussex. Went to private schools. Dad thought one of us would go to work for him in his drill company. He figured he'd be the boss once that dreadful Dursley keeled over. But Victor got into the booze after he married Elizabeth, and I wasn't really interested in drills.
Rosie decided she'd had enough small talk.
What happened to that school you went to?
William looked uncomfortable.
Well, I was in a science class, and we were doing experiments. My best mate, he'd nicked this book, Advanced Experiments, from the professor, and we wanted to try one out. But when I threw in the last ingredient, everything exploded, and, well, he was quite badly hurt.
William hung his head and looked anguished.
Oh, William, that's awful! And you were only 13?
He nodded mutely.
Is he okay now?
Well, not really. He's a bit better than he was at first, but not back to himself.
That's certainly true, thought William.
How dreadful!
Rosie scooted closer to him. Their folded knees were touching. She put a sympathetic hand on his arm.
But why did they expel you? You didn't mean it.
Well, the professor was... Well, he was an awful old git. He was so infuriated we'd stolen his book and someone had gotten so hurt in one of his classes. Insisted on it.
Would have been different if I'd been in Slytherin, thought William to himself sulkily.
Oh, make it go away!
The rake, apparently having overheard some of their conversation, had zzzed up to William's side.
Clear off!
Shouted William irritably to the rake. The rake did not move and William sighed.
I can't make him do anything. He never minds me.
The rake tapped him smartly on the head.
Ouch! Stop it! See what I mean?
Well, why did you invent an electric rake that won't do what it's supposed to?
Well, he needs some fine-tuning, I think.
William glared at the rake.
Such as learning about manners and letting people alone.
The rake turned sideways and poked Rosie's glass of sherry over onto her lap.
Oh, you stupid! Oh my God, Rosie, I'm so sorry. I don't know what the hell is wrong with him.
The rake, apparently satisfied now, zzzed away from the scene quickly. Rosie leapt up and William grabbed a napkin, tried to help her wipe off, then stopped in horror. All the sherry was around the top of her thighs and between her legs. Rosie just giggled.
Oh, I don't care. It's not like I can't get another pair. It's warm in here anyway. Don't worry about it.
William looked so miserable, she felt badly for him.
Stop it! Stop worrying!
She pulled him back down to their seated positions, leaned over, and kissed him. William thought perhaps he'd been confounded. His cheeks were warm, and he felt dizzy. Rosie was a bit shocked herself. Wow, she thought.
That was rather nice. She looked up at him conspiratorially. William didn't care about her money or how famous she was. He certainly was rather interesting, and he couldn't be too crazy or Quentin wouldn't let him live there. He was just odd and misunderstood, she decided. Who wouldn't be after having such a traumatic experience?
Want to go up to my floor?
She whispered. William looked at her miserably.
Rosie, your dad will kill me.
Which one?
The one that scares me.
No, he won't. It's my own business what I do.
She stuck out her chin stubbornly.
Oh, he won't do anything to you. It's me he'll come after.
I'm scaring you off, aren't I? I always do that to nice guys.
Rosie looked despondent.
Well, it isn't that, Rosie. I just don't want you to think that, well, that I'm like all those other guys. You always say you can't trust people and just want to use you and are only after one thing. I don't want you to think I'm like that.
He trailed off lamely. He's like a bloody idiot, he thought furiously to himself.
So you're saying you're an old-fashioned guy?
I guess so.
Well, that's okay. I rather like it. You're quite right. Every guy I meet just seems to be interested in my body or my money or the fact that I'm famous. They don't ever really want to know anything about me.
Well, I do, blurted out William immediately. What the hell am I doing? He thought miserably. But the next moment, Rosie looked at him so intensely he felt she'd knocked the breath out of him.
Well,
Rosie felt, to her great horror, tears rising up in her eyes. Damn it, this always happened when someone was sympathetic and interested in her. Not that that happened very often.
Well, it would be nice to have someone to talk to. I suppose I'm rather lonely,
she finished in a mortified whisper. William looked amazed.
You?
Yes, me. Girls always hate me because they're jealous of me, and guys just want to use me. Well, the only people I meet are show business people, and they're the phoniest, snobbiest lot. I can't stand them. You can't talk about anything personal. They just turn it right back to themselves.
Maybe you have some things you'd like to talk about.
Yes!
Rosie burst out, rather like Timothy, she thought miserably.
I mean, yes, it would be nice to have someone to talk to. Well, I talk to my mum, but not about everything, of course, and she's been rather distracted lately. I think she can't decide what to do about Quentin. And Timothy keeps her distracted all the time.
Oh, I guess your dad, Henry, isn't much use either,
William said wryly. To her great horror, Rosie burst into tears.
Well, that's the whole thing, William. I don't know who I am anymore.
William looked at her intently and handed her his handkerchief.
When I first found out Quentin was my dad, well, you know, I was really mad, but then I thought, well, it's not a big deal. Lots of people find out they're adopted or whatever. My dad will still be my dad, and Quentin will still be like my doting uncle, but it's changed things.
You feel differently about them?
Well, yes, and I thought I wouldn't, but for a long time I've been embarrassed of Henry, and I hate how he treated my mother. I can't say I was crushed to find out he wasn't my dad. Part of me was kind of glad. I don't want to be selfish and immature and use people like he does. And I realized that when I was little and thought he was so great, he was just using me to amuse his friends and make himself look good, putting me up on the table and making me sing and stuff like it was his prized pet.
She waited for William to defend Henry, but he said nothing.
He's been less and less interested in me the older I got anyway. You know, he never asked me anything about my classes or how it was going when I went to university. Quentin's right. I don't know why I didn't figure it out a long time ago. He always went to my school plays and concerts and stuff, but Henry just said those things were boring. I don't think he knows anything about me. He never even remembers my birthday anymore. Oh, I don't think he deserves to be my dad.
So you're not sure you want to think of Henry as your father?
William had a rather good way of summing up her long outburst, thought Rosie to herself. She liked this. It helped her put her thoughts together.
No, I don't. It's not that I dislike him. Well, he can be funny and cheerful, and sometimes he doesn't bother me, but I think of him as Henry, my mom's old boyfriend. So then I decided, well, I just won't have a dad at all. Who needs one? And I'm a grown-up now. But I felt, I don't know, like half of me was missing. And with Quentin, well, ever since he's told me, I keep noticing all these things.
There are a lot of things,
William smiled. He knew exactly what she was talking about. Her temper, her single-mindedness, her hatred of showing emotion in public, the way she kept people at a distance, even little things like her penetrating gaze, how she'd run her fingers through her hair if she felt uncomfortable, and her quick, sarcastic replies.
I know, I'm much more like him than my mom. It's awful.
Is it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he deserves to be my dad either. Why didn't he tell me when I was a little girl? Why didn't they just own up to it? It makes me feel like he was ashamed of me or something, she blurted out.
Oh, he never wanted it to be a secret. You know he hates dishonesty. Well, your mother insisted on it because she didn't want her sister to hate her.
How do you know about all this? You weren't here then.
No, but I talked to my brother, you know. He smiled at her. Rosie mulled this over.
Did you think it was bad of me to kiss you?
She said suddenly, looking up at him with her saucy grin. Her eyes were sparkling again.
Let me think. William leaned over and kissed her back.
There. That's my answer. I think that's a good answer,
she replied breathlessly and leaned up against him. They fell into a rather awkward silence.
So, why aren't you trimming the tree?
Rosie finally asked.
Oh my God, I hate heights. I'm not getting up on one of those ladders.
She just laughed. Tree trimming night, she thought, hadn't turned out to be so bad after all. A stray quadruplet, the dark-haired girl who had earlier been crying over her burned pony cookie, had decided to try and climb up Quentin's legs. He picked her up and she squealed with glee.
And which one are you? He intoned, smiling at her.
Natalie! I'm 3 years old now!
Well, that's very big, Miss Natalie. What do you want for Christmas?
I want a super deluxe Barbie case and a brand new bird for my doll and a kitten with black stripes and a lot of paint boxes and a rocking horse.
Quentin pretended to think this over.
That's a lot of stuff.
Oh, no, it is. Mummy told me there's way too much stuff and I can't have all of it. But it's hard to pick one thing,
she pouted. Quentin put her down carefully and turned to Jamie.
So how do you tell them apart?
He asked as Natalie bounced away. Jamie looked startled that his father was offering up conversation.
Well, it's pretty easy. See, Natalie and Nicholas are the dark-haired ones, and Elizabeth and Lucas are the blondes. Natalie's really outgoing. She talks to everybody, and Nicholas is always cheerful and wanting to go somewhere. He can't stand to be still. Lucas and Elizabeth are kind of shy, but Elizabeth is super smart. She already learned to read.
Quentin smiled. Jamie obviously loved the kids.
Doesn't all the shrieking get on your nerves?
Well, it did at first, but...
He wanted to blurt out the obvious, that he'd just done it to hang around Shala, but wasn't prepared to say anything so personal to his father.
But he get used to it, and they're actually rather well-behaved. Shala keeps them on a schedule. It's the only way to manage 4 little kids, and she makes them mind.
Well, they are cute kids.
Natalie was demanding Nicholas be her pet horse and let her ride him. The other two were flopped on the floor, petting Timothy's large orange cat, Charlie.
Tim!
Quentin was not pleased with this sight. Timothy appeared as if from within the tree. He was beaming and covered with pine needles.
Yes, sir?
I told you not to bring that cat down here. Cats and Christmas trees are not a good mix.
Rosie has Polly!
He immediately wailed. This was Rosie's pet chihuahua.
That's different, and you know it. Dogs don't bother trees.
As if to prove his point, Polly was curled up in Rosie's arms, and Quentin's large yellow and black labs were stretched out sleeping soundly in front of the fireplace.
Oh, Uncle Quentin, he really wanted to come.
Quentin and Jamie exchanged exasperated looks.
The cat told you he wanted to come? Asked Jamie scornfully.
No, I could just tell. He just wants to watch, and I know it'll be good. He never gets in any trouble.
At this exact moment, Charlie sprang up and began climbing the tree as quickly as possible, shaking off ornaments as he went. The ornament hangers all began screeching from their various ladders.
Oh, he's knocked all the silver sleigh bell and it's broken!
I just put all those up!
Timothy!
This was his mother, who had been hanging her favorite Eiffel Tower ornament, only to have it drop out of her hand as the tree lurched.
Get that cat!
This was the wrong thing to say. Timothy leapt up onto the 20-foot ladder and scurried up it as quickly as possible.
Get off that ladder!
Yelled everyone at once, and Quentin and Jamie jumped to their feet. Timothy turned around as he stepped on the very top rung and shrieked,
Well, you told me to get the cat, and I'm trying!
Richard covered his eyes. He knew this was not going to end well. The ladder swayed dangerously just as Quentin reached the foot of it. He shouted at Jamie to hold the base and began climbing up after Timothy.
Just stay there, Tim, and let me help you.
I don't need any help. I can climb up a ladder. I'm not retarded.
Just then, the cat grabbed the top branch of the tree, which began dangerously swaying back and forth. Timothy toppled sideways off the ladder. There was a horrible lurching sound, and crash! The entire tree toppled over onto the ladder. Everyone rushed up, horrified at the sight of the enormous tree on its side, and no sign of Timothy or Quentin anywhere.
Timothy!
screamed Solange in an anguished wail. A blonde head popped up from beneath some pine cones.
I'm okay, Mom,
he piped up cheerfully and climbed out from beneath the tree.
That was really fun. I never fell that far before. It was so cool.
Get the tree up! Get it up!
Shouted Sir Richard, and everyone began attempting to right the tree. After much jostling and shoving, they were able to do so. The lights were askew, the ornaments had slid halfway down so that the top of the tree looked bare, but the worst sight was Quentin, who lay under the tree without moving.
Oh my God, he's dead! Screamed Elizabeth with great relish.
Dad!
Quentin!
Quick, get the doctor, quick!
Roared Richard to the terrified servants who went scurrying away. Just then, Quentin dashed Elizabeth's hopes by stirring about and slowly staggering to his feet.
Quentin, are you okay? Sit back down. Wait for the doctor,
Solange shrieked. Quentin sat, looking dazed. Solange began picking garland, ornaments, popcorn, and pine needles off of him while shouting at everyone else.
His head is bleeding,
she shrieked, having discovered a large gash behind his right ear.
Out of the way, please.
The mansion doctor, a balding, bespectacled, officious fellow, bustled in with his black doctor's bag.
Hit his head, did he? Was he knocked out?
I think, for a few minutes, he isn't really talking.
Mr. Queller,
the doctor shouted. Quentin gave him a bemused expression.
Tell me who I am. Tell me who I am, sir.
What? What happened?
You fell and hit your head. Now tell me my name, sir.
What? What happened?
You fell and hit your head. My name, sir. Tell me my name.
What?
Repetitive questioning. Signs of a concussion. Pupils equal and reactive. No need for a CT.
Dr. O'Malley announced everything in an exclamatory fashion.
4-inch gaping head laceration. Needs stapled.
And he pulled a large staple gun out of his bag.
Wow, you're going to staple up his head?
Timothy was fascinated.
First stitches and then staples? This is a bad day for his head.
Solange looked horrified.
Why'd you have to staple it?
She screeched.
Staples are best for the sides and back of the head. More durability. Stitches to the forehead, better cosmetically. Now, I'll need you to lie on your side, sir. This isn't terribly painful, but it will hurt.
What?
Here, Quentin, put your head in my lap,
Solange told him.
Okay,
Quentin said agreeably. Everyone hovered around him with great interest at the sight of the giant staple gun.
I bet he's going to blubber like a baby,
announced Elizabeth with great satisfaction.
My dad doesn't blubber, shouted Jamie. You better shut up.
The two began bickering back and forth. The doctor pushed in the first staple and Quentin winced.
Son of a bitch,
he muttered. Solange, full of eggnog and fear for his life, quite forgot herself.
Darling, it's all right,
she cried out and began stroking his hair.
Please move your hand, barked the doctor. Few more staples, sir.
Ouch.